The Trilogy Podcast with Vin and Scott, putting the buff back in film buff.
Trilbit number 17, no longer a trilogy. Kung, F you, Panda. Scott, I hate these kinds of trilbits when we do them. I hate them.
Yes.
Because when we have to take a trilogy out of circulation, when a fourth movie happens,
yeah,
and it negates one of our episodes, it breaks my heart. It really does.
The episode still exists.
Yeah. We're not taking them down.
You can still listen to it, right, guys. Please do. It's really a good episode.
We encourage you to go and listen to the episode. Yeah. That's not the point of this.
Right.
But when it comes to what we do here at the Trilogy Podcast, we are purists.
Right.
So if it is no longer a trilogy, then you need to know about that. We need to acknowledge that we know about it, too. And that's really important.
Yeah, and we need to address it. That is our duty.
Our lofty goal.
It does hurt for this one because I enjoyed these movies. Yeah. I think we did, you know, after the end of the day, said, hey, these were pretty enjoyable.
We're talking about Kung Fu Panda, which was just released on March 8th. The fourth one has just come out, and it's going to negate this as a trilogy. Indeed, now it is a franchise,
yes,
as it were. We're calling
officially
it a franchise.
No longer a trilogy.
Officially no longer a trilogy. So in preparing for this quick little trill bit where we cross this one off the list, I went and I listened to our original episode.
Yes.
All right. So we recorded this episode about 4 years ago, February 8th, 2020.
Yes.
My, what has happened since then?
Yeah.
It feels like it was yesterday. I don't feel like we...
Probably one of our most downloaded episodes. Definitely top 10.
Yeah, you know what? I think it was because we were riding the high of Hotel Transylvania and the fact that for some reason...
Still our number one episode.
Yeah, and so we're like, ooh, let's do another kids episode. Yeah. Let's see if we can, you know, we'll become a kids podcast. And
right, yeah. Maybe that's why, you know...
Vin, cut down on the multiple F words. I can't do that.
Kids love the F word.
You know, yeah, I was trying to appeal to that demographic. Yeah.
How do you do, fellow kids?
What?
We acknowledge the fact that these are episodes, or rather, these are trilogies for children, movies for children, and that as adults, they're not meant for us. They weren't made for us. So we have to look at them in a different way, right?
Right.
But as always, Scott, you and I use the standard where when we were younger, we had really great children's films that appealed to both kids and had something in there for adults.
Right.
So, you know, these movies, you ultimately want a movie that tells a great story that a kid can enjoy, but doesn't talk down to the kid.
Exactly.
Like say, the Cars trilogy does.
Right.
Which
yes.
is a poor example of that kind of a thing.
Yes. So, I think if you're a smart child, you're going to ask a lot of questions about how the Cars world works. I would have, as a kid, been all over that and
too.
Been like, wait a minute. They're drinking the oil. Now they're peeing the oil.
Or they're bleeding the oil.
They're bleeding.
Every liquid is oil or gas. What is
it's
this?
It's either lazy or it's perverse.
Half-realized. Very half-realized.
Yeah.
It took one sort of throwaway gag and made a whole universe around it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
left us both scratching our heads when we watched that that trilogy.
Whereas I think the Kung Fu Panda trilogy, it stayed true to the rules it sort of set and the theme it was doing. And I think ultimately, you know, more than Cars, obviously, like, you know, it's just an enjoyable ride.
It worked. Yeah. We liked it even more than Hotel Transylvania. We referenced it a couple of times.
Absolutely.
In re-listening to our episode, that was something we really sort of emphasized. We're like, this is a really cool movie, all things considered. Yeah. Perfect? No. Not a perfect trilogy.
It's a great family film, though. They're great family films.
And this movie is sort of known for succeeding in talking about the Chinese culture in a way that isn't insulting to the Chinese and brings enough of history into it where it sort of straddles the bar between legendary and fantastical and genuinely historical to the point where both sides, us and the Chinese, are happy with it.
Right.
It broke box office records over there.
It's a movie. They were very, you know, gentle, I think, with the history and respectful. And at the end of the day, it comes to just a genuine story with a lot of heart, with a really well-realized world.
Pooh, the time has come to choose your successor.
But I am the Dragon Warrior.
You're talking about Kung Fu Panda. It tells the story of a panda in China named Po, voiced by Jack Black.
The great Jack Black.
The great Jack Black. In the first film, his enemy is a snow leopard, and it's about him trying to overcome the obstacles put in front of him. He's a big, fat panda. No one thinks very much of him. He always wanted to be tough and like a ninja, but he was held back by his size.
Yeah.
And
he ends up using food,
right?
Like something that he loves that he would have seen as a, you know, a detriment to him becoming a ninja.
Right.
He uses that as his inspiration to be a ninja.
Yeah.
So it's like he used something that was always part of himself that he, you know, thought was no good.
Right.
That he's just, you know, this fat panda. And then
it's truly a coming of age. It's a coming of age. It's showing this guy.
If you've ever been chubby, I think you yeah. will really
You'll
be touched
it
by
more,
the story.
No doubt. And the idea of being comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
You know, and in the case of Poe, like doing great things in his own skin.
Yeah.
It didn't hold him back. It actually made him great.
You're just a big, fat panda.
I'm not a big, fat panda. I'm the big, fat panda.
The second one was Poe. It was actually an origin story about Poe wondering where he came from. He had been adopted by a fucking goose.
Yes.
And he's like, what, where did I come from? What, right. How did I get here? That kind of a thing.
The first movie sets up the second movie kind of perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
With that mystery of like, it's sort of a throwaway and they're like, but is it? Like,
right. Yeah. Right. And the movie slightly contradicts itself because once he realizes that it doesn't matter, like, where he came from. It's
chosen family, found family. Like,
right. Yeah. And you're like, this is great. He's really learned a lesson. And they're like, but he still needs to go visit the land of the pandas in the third movie. We're like, what? Didn't he just learn he didn't need to do that?
Right.
Where did I come from? I think it's time I told you something I should have told you a long time ago. Okay. You might have been kind of adopted.
So in the second one, he whips a peacock's ass. We take it to Gary Oldman. The third movie, he is fighting a bull.
Yeah, and that is J.K. Simmons playing Kai as the bull.
And the bull is trying to get jade zombies of past warriors that have died.
Right, it's their souls
power.
Or whatever, right? And he takes the turtle, who we first met in the first movie, who passed away. He takes, that's the beginning of the third movie.
Right.
And right away, you're like, all right, this is going to be a good ride. Because the way they set it up, you're like, yes, the stakes are high already. Because we remember the turtle. We love that turtle.
Love the turtle.
Yeah. I can't remember his name at the moment, but he's a delight.
Master Oogway.
Our battle ended 500 years ago.
Well, now I'm ready for a rematch.
Took you long enough.
And the third story has this really strangely progressive feel to it, especially for a kid's movie, where both his adopted father, the goose, who's kind of snuck along because he wants to see where his son is going to land the pandas.
Right.
He's jealous. And his real father, played by Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
Like, they come together and they're like both his father figures. He took something from both of these fathers, the one that raised him and the one he was born from, you know? And it's really quite touching.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah.
It's the way it's hard when a kid's got to deal with like step parents and parents that have gotten a divorce, and this handles it beautifully.
Right.
You know,
that's the real secret to a great kids movie, right? It's not exactly the same thing, but I know people who are like my age whose parents were getting divorced, and Mrs. Doubtfire was an important movie for them.
Sure. I buy that 100%.
So yeah, a kids movie, a good movie for children deals with those kind of issues in a very safe way.
Yep.
Right? Like in a different world, in a fantasy where like kids can kind of play out their emotions on the screen.
And it doesn't become treacly. It doesn't become all heavy duty message ridden. It's there, but we still have an entertaining film around it.
Yes. It's certainly not panda ring.
All right, man. Scott, you're on a roll.
I know. It's great, right?
A sushi roll.
Sushi roll, right? The old dragon roll.
Search
huh?
for that one.
You found it, though.
Took me long enough.
Took you long enough.
This is during the part of the transition where Jack Black was becoming older, and he had just passed that corridor of the early 2000s where he was the number one comedic star in America.
Right.
And he had to really just kind of become more of a versatile actor, more of a versatile performer.
I do think this series of movies has helped transition him into dad actor, dad status, where like, you know, he was in the Goosebumps movies as R.L. Stine.
Right.
It's really for the kids who grew up on Goosebumps.
Sure.
And for them to be okay with an actor portraying a guy to you who is like a god,
yeah,
you know, essentially,
sure,
because you read these books growing up. Right. This guy was the coolest back then. But Jack Black, you're like, okay, yeah, immediately. Yep. You're like, it's safe with him. And he's done great with kids' movies.
Pretty much.
And I think it really was because he had a child.
Yeah, you know? Right. It's a classic thing where it's like, I want my kid to be able to see the movies that I'm in. You hear this like nonstop. And that's why famous actors do these fucking animated movies.
Fucking Dana Carvey in Master of Disguise.
Yeah, well.
And it's a career killer.
Dana has no excuse for that fucking pile of smelly shit. That it doesn't get much worse than that.
Yeah.
It's
one of those movies that's such like a fun, like bad watch where you're like, why is this happening? Yeah. Why is he the guy from Jaws right now doing that whole speech?
Who understand? No one knows these references.
Yeah.
Well, let it do, my wee Spanish ladies.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a him, right?
What?
He's getting it. How are you going?
What?
One of the problems I think that we had, though, with Kung Fu Panda is the fact that the movie really forces celebrities into a lot of the parts. These celebrities aren't necessarily known for being talkers or verbal comedians.
Yes.
So it doesn't make very much sense to make Jackie Chan the voice of anything.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan is famous for what he does physically. He can barely speak English.
Right.
But again, it was sort of with a nod to the Asian audience. He's a big name. They know.
Yeah.
Same thing with Angelina Jolie. She's not necessarily known for how she talks, but she's a big overseas star.
Right.
And they were really trying to get the overseas audiences to come out for this in the first one.
What I think, particularly interesting with Kung Fu Panda, as opposed to most movies like that, they're the draws on the poster that all these people are in it, but they don't play a huge role in the story.
No.
So it's them picking up a paycheck to be, you know.
But it's a big mistake that these.
And good for David Cross, but you know.
Oh, David Cross is great. Right, but he's someone who's got experience doing this kind of film.
Yes.
We mentioned that in the episode. Some of these guys can do this because they have this experience. Even Jack Black. He had done, voiceover work before.
Yeah. Now he's Bowser.
Yeah. The kid doesn't know that. A kid that was going to see Kung Fu Panda, you think they're going because Angelina Jolie's doing a voice?
No.
They don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah.
Like the Shark movie.
Oh, awful.
Where they come up with a premise and then they kind of add famous people's voices to it. And you're like, well, what are we doing
and
here?
They're not even trying to hide them. Like, the De Niro shark looks like fucking De Niro.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And kids don't want that. They don't want it. What kid's like a De Niro movie?
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
The best person in Shark Tale is Jack Black. Because forget he's Jack Black.
But now we're back to it just being nobodies. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. Is the one with the bitch in the snow. What's her name? Let It Snow.
Frozen?
Yeah. Are those all famous actors who did those voices? I don't think they are.
Idina Menzel is, I think.
Ish, but it's not. Are kids that age like...
She's like see the Broadway famous.
Right.
You know, like, which is, I think because that was them trying to return to like the 90s when it was like they hired Broadway writers to write music and stuff like that. So you had like Jodie Benson who did Little Mermaid. People worship her to this day because like they grew up with Little Mermaid.
Right.
You know, and like she's...
And it wasn't an existing celebrity.
What else?
This is what made them...
She was a singer hired for a job.
Right. And that and this part made them famous, gave them a name.
Exactly. Well, look what you're saying with the Muppets, right?
Yep.
Like they were nobodies. The only reason you know who they are is because they made themselves known
Menzel.
In anonymity.
Irina Menzel?
Idina Menzel.
Idina Menzel.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. To me, she's the most talented singer whose voice doesn't sound pleasant to listen to when she sings.
I agree.
It doesn't sound pleasant. She can hit the notes.
Yeah.
She's got chops, but I'm listening to her. I'm like, I don't like the sound of this. What? It sounds lousy. Yes. So to wrap this up, this movie, we both liked it. We both wound up giving it the same exact order. We both said 1, 3, 2 was the order in which we enjoyed them the most. And we both said they were successful.
We did.
When we did this one, we felt like they were both a little Karate Kid in there, a little Star Wars action in there with the relationships and the dynamic.
Yeah.
We sent Phil to the San Diego Zoo for this one in cosplay gear dressed as a panda. Huh. And he was... shot with a hypnotic dart and sent to China in a box.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what happened to Phil with this one.
How do we even get him back?
In a White House briefing on Monday, Press Secretary Jen Psaki rejected the idea that Biden had brokered a prisoner swap.
It is what it is. So they made this fourth one. It's coming out. This fourth one is going to be directed by this guy named Mike Mitchell. Now, let me tell you about this fucking guy, Mike Mitchell. It's a classic example of a guy who doesn't seem to have any ideas on his own. And so what he's directed is the fourth Shrek movie. the third Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, the second SpongeBob movie, the second Legos movie, and Deuce Bigelow. Those are the movies that he's directed.
Wow.
And it's like, you know what? I've never directed anything, but I don't know that I'd want that to be on my fucking resume, those films.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so they obviously found the right guy that knows to take an existing property and move it forward.
Right.
You know? I'd never heard of him until this.
Yeah. You know? Me neither.
Jack Black's coming back as his Hong. They've propped up his skeleton, and they're going to somehow get sound out of it, probably by blowing sound. They'll probably blow a fan into his asshole, and sound will come out of his mouth.
Yes. Roll out gong gong. No matter.
Hoffman's coming back as is Bryan Cranston.
Ah.
As is Ian McShane, who we thought was dead in the third movie. So I don't know.
There was like a wee reference to him, I think, in the third one when they went to the Soul World collecting souls.
Yeah,
and
we're
stuff.
Like, ooh.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool that he came back.
So maybe he's going to cross back over or something.
Maybe. Right? Are they, you know what? Do our spirits ever truly die? Are they with us forever, Scott?
No one's ever truly gone.
Except for Phil.
Yes.
China! They're adding Awkwafina to this. And I don't really know much about her. I don't know. I have no opinion. Yeah. Viola Davis is going to have a role.
Oh.
I guess because he won the Academy Award, he's the flavor of the month. The kid from the Goonies.
Ki-Hui Kwan?
Data.
Yeah.
Data from the Goonies.
Yes.
He's doing something.
Short round, playing
a bandit of some kind in the movie. And then you have Lori Tan Chin, who is in Orange is the New Black and in the Awkwafina show.
Yeah.
As well as Ronnie Cheng for The Daily Show and from Crazy Rich Asians.
I mean, this year we saw actors take on some incredibly challenging roles with Cillian Murphy in as Oppenheimer, Bradley Cooper as Leonard Bernstein, and Ronnie Cheng as Fish in Kung Fu Panda 4.
We're only going to see a glimpse of the Furious Five, though. They're not really back in the movie. This is a new story. And so, Scott, and I hope that works out this way. They're talking about making a total of 6 movies. And if they do, to me, that's going to be a series of 2 trilogies.
Yeah.
Enough time has passed, and if they're not using the same characters in the same framework,
right,
if it's a completely new set of characters, even though they're surrounding Kung Fu around Poe, Kung Fu Panda,
yeah,
I say it might be 2 trilogies. Might literally have to return this to the world of trilogy
We might.
To be the best, we got to pass the test. We got to make it all the way to the top of the mountain. We can do it again.
I want to say this is the first trilogy where I'm a little bit disappointed it's being taken out of our... In the past, we've gotten rid of The Purge. We've gotten rid of The Avengers, which we always knew was going to happen.
Right.
We got rid of
Thor.
Thor, which was bittersweet in its own way.
Yeah.
Just because of how good, really, the third one was.
Yeah.
But this is one that really hurts a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to find a trilogy we both really kind of like.
Yeah.
In general, that we're impressed by. We both agree on liking.
Right.
So it hurts to lose one of those. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to say F you, foo, kung fu, F you, panda, until you return to our universe. Fucking kiss my fucking ass, motherfucker.
Wow.
Because now you're my enemy. If you're not in my trilogy, my friend, you're my enemy. You're my enemy. And I hate you. I hate you now.
Jesus Christ.
That's how I feel. I live in a land of trilogies, and if you're not walking in my land, you're down in hell. So fuck it.
I don't respect it anymore.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's there. It existed. It was a part of our legacy and our history.
Right.
Do I respect it?
That being said, though, if they make 2 more and we have 2 trilogies, welcome back.
Love it again.
Welcome back, Kung Fu Panda.
You know what? I'll bend right over for you, Kung Fu Panda.
Honestly, we might as well get that content recorded right now, so why don't we just do that now?
Flip the tape.
Trilogy number 705.
All right, so we're waving goodbye to Kung Fu Panda. We'll see you, old friend. Because my life